This morning, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. It's where we're going to go for our scripture lesson. Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to read the first three verses. If you don't have your Bible with you, we have pew Bibles. You can read along with me. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and that's where we're going here this morning. So I heard the pages turning. Most of you are already there. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. From Matthew chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3, says this: Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this morning I just pray that your Spirit work upon each and every one of our hearts here today. May these three verses sink in. May they transform us. May the truths that are contained within just mold us into Christ-likeness. Father, I hide behind the cross this morning and just ask that the words that I speak will be pleasing to you. I speak to an audience of one this morning, Lord, and I speak to you. To you I give the praise, and to you I give the glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is our final lesson this morning in the short sermon series on tradition. And we're looking at tradition from the standpoint of this. Is there something that I do in my life without ever questioning why I do that? Tradition. We're going to look at it from a church standpoint. And the question would be this: are you here today because it is what you feel you need to do on a Sunday morning? Are you here today out of tradition? Are you here today out of obligation? Are you here today out of ritual? Are you here today because this is just what I have to do on a Sunday morning? Let me go into a real quick story time with Pastor Mike. The story goes like this. A couple years ago, I was invited to my nephew's wedding. He was getting married in Pittsburgh. So I was invited. My daughter went, and my son and his wife were there. Gail couldn't go. And the church, it was a Catholic church, and the wedding was going to be held right in downtown Pittsburgh. As a matter of fact, I remember that day very vividly. It was a nice day in August, and the church was right across the street from the Civic Arena. And on that day, that Saturday, American Idol was there having tryouts right there at the Civic Arena, and the place was just congested with cars and everything else, which is a story unto itself that I will share with you some other Sunday. But this is the part of the story that I want you to hear. Before the service, before the wedding ceremony, I was in the church, this huge, absolutely huge Catholic church. And I ran into this gentleman, and I don't know how much you know about Catholic churches, but there was this little well of water, and he sticks his fingers in the water, and he pulls them back out, and he does a sign of the cross. So I went up to the gentleman right after he did that, and I simply asked him this: why did you do that? Fair question. Why did you do that? He could not give me an answer. He had no answer. He just did it. people do a lot of things just because it's what you do. Do you show up at church because it's tradition? Attending church must be something more than tradition. Attending church must have a purpose. And in the first 2 weeks, in our first 2 weeks, we've covered the fact that these seven words, we've covered these words. Church is a place of salvation. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place of worship. It's a place of learning. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of giving. And it's also a place of judgment. And yes, we can do all seven of those things outside these church walls. And we should, because we are the church. We actually take church with us wherever we go. But we must do these things inside the walls of this church. So church doesn't become something that's such a tradition that we, when we come here on a Sunday morning, we have a purpose for being here. And yes, there are more than those seven things and the eighth thing that we will talk about here this morning that we can do within the walls of this church. Many other good words, but those were just the seven that I picked out. And today we're going to go on our eighth and our final word of this series. Today we learn that church is a place of renewal. Renewal. This morning I want to talk about the fact that church is a place of renewal by covering the seven words that we've covered over the past couple weeks. And I'm going to lay these seven words out in a very practical way, hopefully. And I'll get the point across over the fact that we are here to be renewed also. Those seven words that we've talked about, they're all words that define a journey, the journey of a Christian. What were the words again? Salvation, encouragement, worship, learning, prayer, giving, judgment. And the journey of a true Christian, if you are a true Christian, you will find out that your journey goes against the grain in the mindset of the world outside these walls. And if all of us in here, if we all claim to be possessors of the faith, if we all claim to be true Christians, we are going against the flow and against the beliefs and against the desires of the world outside there, the unbelieving world. And when we do, we find out this, that it now becomes a battle. The world, the Christian. We find out that there's a battle. So let's talk about that battle here a little bit this morning. Let's give some foundation information. Every human being, which would include all of us, we are all born with what theologians call a bent towards sin. It's what the Bible calls depravity, or the human condition. And we all have it. Once we get saved, once we become Christians, believe it or not, that human condition does not go away. It still stays there with us. And Galatians 5:17 tells us that the Spirit dwelling within us as a Christian is in opposition to that human condition that hasn't quite gone away. And now a real battle starts within us. The Spirit and self. The Spirit and the world. And now the real battle begins. You'll notice that if you remember your unbelieving days, there wasn't much of a battle because self and the world dominated everything. But now that you are a Christian, a battle wages within each and every one of us. And for all of us, that human condition of depravity began the day you were born. Psalm 51:5 says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Even as a baby, if you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or if you've been around very small children, life is all about self, even to little babies. What happened when we were babies? We were hungry, and we wanted something to eat. So what did we do? We cried, and somebody else took care of us. We had a messy diaper and it was a little uncomfortable. So what did we do? We cried. And somebody else cleaned us up and took care of us. And we saw other children playing with toys. And we wanted those other toys. And what did we do? We cried because we wanted what they had. But the human condition is all about self. It's all about me. And now that we are on this Christian walk, this different walk, the Spirit says, it's not about me anymore. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians that now that we are Christians, now that we are saved, now that we are now new creations in Christ, there is a battle that wages within us. The new creation, which is always represented by this side of the podium, wants to take over. But the old self says, nuh-uh, I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to let go. So now let's look at six of those seven words, those purposes that we talked about. I'm going to purposely omit salvation, and you'll quickly understand why. And I'm going to place them in a logical progression. And what I'm going to do here is this. I'm going to show how each and every one of those things that we, purposes that we should do at church, presents a challenge and a battle to the believer. And not so much what happens inside this building, but what we learn here and then what we try to take outside this building. It's going to be a battle and it's going to be a challenge. First, let's start with this one. The word learning. Church is a place of learning. Well, my new creation in Christ wants to learn what this book, what this Bible has to say. The more I learn, the more I grow in God's expectation of me as a believer. I also learn that by following God's word, wonderful and blessed things are going to happen to me and are happening in my life. But my human condition does not want to bow to the authority of some book that was written thousands of years ago. After all, this is 2013, isn't it? And what was written in this book cannot and does not pertain to me. It's what my flesh wants to say. And what does the world think? The world thinks that me as a believer, they think that I'm an idiot or they think that I'm stupid for wanting to learn or even obey what this book has to say. Next word, judgment. Well, my new creation in Christ, the new me, learns that God's word will judge the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. And that this word right here is the measuring stick that God uses to do that. And now I realize as a new creation of Christ that there are some things in me that do need to change because I have been judged by the word. But as I've made these changes, they've made a positive difference in my life and how I relate to my family, my church family, my spouse, my friends. And I find myself, as I get judged, becoming more Christ-like. But my human condition, the old self, does not want anyone or anything to judge me. I will define my own set of rules, not God. And don't anyone else, don't any one of you dare judge me, myself says. After all, who are you to do that? And the world? Well, the world thinks of me as a Christian that I'm an idiot, or they think I'm stupid for allowing the Bible of all books to judge my actions. You see, this new self, this new creation in Christ is starting to take root, but the old self does not want to let go. And I realize that there's a battle that has begun inside me. So what do? I pray about the situation. And I pray with a clean heart. And I pray with a clean mind. And I said, Lord, I know where I need to be. I need you to help take me there. And I pray by faith that the Lord will and is going to do His work in me. But my human condition, it does not want to pray. Prayer takes time. And what about all those other prayers that God never answered? God must not be listening, Mike. Mike, maybe God just doesn't care. And the world? What do they think of me as a new creation of Christ? They think that I'm an idiot, or they think I'm stupid for talking to an entity, this God that I cannot see, I cannot hear, and I cannot touch. Prayer, what a waste of time, the world thinks. But this spirit that's inside me has led me into a mode of worship. Now I know God is making a difference in my life. Now I truly understand that I have been saved by grace through faith. And this is not of me. It's a gift from God. And it's finally sinking in that He who began a work in me will see that work through all the way to completion. And that no one or nothing can snatch me out of the hand of the Father now that I'm securely there. And for those things and for so much more, He alone is worthy of all of my worship and all of my praise and to give Him the glory. But my human condition only desires to worship one thing, me. After all, no one is more deserving. I deserve praise and attention for all that I have done. My universe, and yours for that matter, really need to center around me. In the world, what do they think? They think of me as a Christian. They think I'm an idiot, or they think I'm stupid for worshiping a God that probably does not even exist. After all, there's no proof, scientific or otherwise, that God is real. God actually falls into the same category as Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. My new creation then moves from a mode of worship to a mode of giving. I want to give my time to God and His work. And I want to give my talents to God and His work. And I want to give my treasure to God and His work for His glory and His kingdom. And I want to store up treasures in heaven. And I want to give my all because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to give my treasure here to this church so this church can turn around and give to others and to the community and give around the world and give to people who are less fortunate than we are. But here's that human condition again. And this human condition doesn't want to give anything to anybody. Hey, I earned it. And if I earned it, I'll keep it. And I'll spend it all on me. And what does the world think of me as a Christian? They tell me that my time is much better spent on a Sunday morning just staying at home, or, hey, out on the golf course. And my talents are better spent playing in a rock and roll band on Saturday nights, entertaining all the people. And my treasure, my money, my finances, it's hard earned. And I should keep every penny of it. And out comes our final word of the seven. Encouragement. My new creation in Christ says this: what a change I have seen in my life. I've been through this situation and God has helped me through it. And I've been through that situation and God has helped me through it. And now I can use those experiences and those situations to help others who are going through those exact same situations. And I can encourage them in those situations. And I can encourage them as they stumble and they try to walk this Christian walk. And I can encourage them to keep on moving on and to be willing servants for the Lord. But my human condition does not want to help anybody with anything. Hey, life is tough enough, let alone me trying to encourage somebody else what to do. No one encourages me anyways. And what does the world think of me as a Christian? They tell me this, Mike, it's every man for himself. Don't you know that? And whatever you do, Mike, do not help the next guy get ahead, because then he'll be ahead of you. Don't encourage him, whatever you do. Let the other people figure that stuff out for themselves. Church is a place of purpose. And I want to learn God's word, but I realize there's a battle. And I want to be judged by God's word, but I realize there is a battle. And I want to pray, but I realize there is a battle. And I want to give, but I realize that there is a battle. And I want to encourage others, but I realize that within myself, there is this battle. And I come to the point where I say, Lord, I need rest from this battle. Lord, I need refreshed from this battle. Lord, I need renewed from this battle. And that, my friends, is our eighth and our final purpose why we come to church. Church must be a place of renewal. I need to be here with other believers and with this word so I can renew my spiritual strength, so I can go on out there into this world and be an effective witness for Christ, so I can go on out there and encourage and worship and learn and pray and give and judge. But boy, what's going on inside of me is a real battle. And that's just from the spiritual side. Now let's get real personal here this morning. And let's talk about from the secular side. This is where it's really going to hit home, my friends. I know for a fact that many of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, are going through tough times right now. Or you have just recently gone through tough times of some sort. So what has it been? Has it been physical issues? Has it been mental and emotional issues? Has it been a death in the family? Has it been loved ones of yours having problems and issues? Has it been work situations? Has it been children and grandchildren making very poor decisions? Has it been the fact that you have too much to do and you just don't have enough time to do it? And maybe because of all these stresses that you have at home, stresses you have in the workplace, stresses that you just have out there in this world, that maybe it's got to the point where you're wrestling with your faith just a little bit. God, where are you? I have these things going on. And there's a battle. And I need you. If that's you this morning, you are at the right place. Let me read these words of encouragement from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. And I'm going to read these rather slowly because I really want these to sink in this morning. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternity, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The scripture teaches us, my friends, this, that we are being renewed day by day. And how does this happen? It happens that we continue to focus on those things that are unseen, not on what we do see. But boy, the things that we do see them, don't we? We see them. We feel them. They are real. And I need to say this, that even when we do direct our attention to those things that are unseen, and we turn those things over to the Lord, that doesn't mean that the problems go away. The grandchildren are still wayward. The job at work is still difficult. I still have those physical issues. But how we deal with them has now changed. We take that issue, whatever it may be, or those issues, whatever they may be, and we remove it from our plate and we lay it at the foot of the cross. I know most of you have probably heard, I know it's very common in the business world to use the phrase, I have a lot on my plate. I have this I need to get done, this I need to get done, this I need to get done, this I need to get done. And before you know it, our plate is overflowing with things that we don't realize. How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of this? I don't know if I can handle this. I believe we all have plates. This morning, my friends, we're going to do something very, very symbolic. And I hope it works for you. In your bulletin, you have a plate. Right now, the plate is empty. And here's what we're going to do. This might seem a little childlike, but sometimes it's examples like this that work the best. I could almost guarantee that everybody in here has something on their plate, whatever that is. I know I do. I know she does. I know Jimmy Bell does. I know Erlene does. I know Margaret Sindrick does. For many of you, I know the situations and the journeys that you're on, and you're going through some very difficult times. So here's what we do this morning. And I'll show you what to do, because I'm going to write something on my plate, and I just wrote it right down there right now. It's on my plate, and I'm going to cut it out because I'm not going to walk with this plate anymore. Because the Word tells me this, to focus on things that are unseen, not on things that are seen. This is what I see, and this is what I don't see. And we can be as messy as we want. And here it goes. And I'm going to take what's on my plate, my friends, and I'm just going to slay it and throw it right down there at the foot of the cross. And if that's you this morning, just write on your plate those things that seem to be so overwhelming, those things in your life that you say, I don't know how I am going to deal with this. Just write them down on your plate. And let's symbolically just come on up here and just throw them right at the foot of the cross. And I hear pages not turning this morning. I hear pages tearing this morning. And that's a good thing. As you feel led, take your plate and give it to God. Just throw it down there. And we'll pick them all up later on. And no one's going to look at them. Because we all have the battles. And if you're like me, my friends, we could be the truest of Christians in some moments, but by golly, sometimes the world just gets the best of us. And when it does, there's only one place to put it. And it's right there. And we put it at the foot of the cross where it belongs. Just throw it on down there. We take it from our plate and we put it on His. We do these things because we stand on the promises of God. We have this book in front of us, this wonderful book, that has all these wonderful promises. And this is just one of them. And I wasn't counting and I wasn't quite looking. Come on up here, Bill. Throw that piece of paper down there. I think Bill's got the whole bulletin he's thrown down there. And that's okay. Sometimes you have more on your plate than what you want. Amen? Let's face it. It is a difficult world out there. We have family. We have friends. We have jobs. We have responsibilities. We have church. We have all these things going on. And after a while, sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. But here's a promise right here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18 that we need to stand on. That we focus not on the problems. There they go. And I hope we can do this. I hope it was more than symbolic. I hope that we can take those problems, just throw them right down there. There's our plate. And now we walk back with an empty plate. We're throwing the things that we see right down there. And we trust in that which is unseen, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, I can't deal with it no more. You know, when we get to the end of our rope, isn't it great that that's where Jesus always shows up? But sometimes we wait till we get to the end of the rope, don't we? And sometimes we need to get there, get to Jesus before we get to the end of our rope. But we are humans, we have this battle, and we always think that we can do it. And we try, and we try, and we try. And then when all else fails, or should I say, when we fail, all right, God, will you help me? Be that a good thing or a bad thing, if that's where we're at, that's where we're going to leave it. Amen? Today, we start something new. Because church must be a place of purpose and not a place of tradition. Church is a place of salvation. Church must be a place of encouragement. And church must be a place of worship. It must be a place where we learn. It must be a place where we pray. Church must be a place where we give. Church is a place where we get judged. But praise God, church is also a place where we can get our spirits renewed. And that must happen within these walls of this church. Granted, it might not always happen like this every Sunday, but I know this, and I'll speak personally. I am glad that I have you here, that you can help renew me, and I can help renew you. I'm excited, and I get excited about going to church each and every Sunday, because I know this, not only those seven things, but I know this, that church is a place where I'm going to get my spirit renewed, and a place where I can watch God win the battle, because I am convinced through the promises of Jesus that there is victory in Jesus, no matter what we have on our plates. Let's go to God in prayer.